Welcome. Good morning. Welcome to Discovery Community Church. We're so glad that you chose to worship with us here today. I don't know about you, but I've had a week. And I'm glad that God has brought me through that week. And we want you to know that no matter how you're arriving here today, that God loves you. And we're going to sing some songs and we're going to worship God. And Pastor John's going to come preach, but however you've arrived here today, we want you to know that that God loves you. If you can, will you stand and worship with us today? That our lives are no longer graves, that our lives have been redeemed by a loving, matchless Savior in Jesus. Let's offer him some worship today.
Then you came along I want you to take a minute before you sit down, and I want you to shake some hands with people. Just introduce yourself to somebody. Oh, so close, Tracy. See, take a load off. Welcome to Discovery. How you guys doing? Everybody doing all right? Maggie, how are you? And Maggie's good. All right. Stan, how you doing? You all right? Yeah, okay, good. Bruce, are you doing okay? Yeah. Keep an eye on Rich, okay? Yeah. Hey, good to have you guys here this morning. Thank you for being here. Thanks for being in the cafeteria with us. This is sort of our new place right now. I hope that you're liking it. So we're choosing to stay in this space for a season. It offers us some real benefits. And one is this: it's a lot better for, maybe not sound, but it's a lot better for the scooter. It's a lot better for the scooter. We've had a lot of challenges with that doggone elevator, so this is far better for that. And it's far better for getting to hang out and meet people. So one of the things I'm going to encourage you to do today is I want to encourage you not to bolt out the door. Again, we're not going to judge you. I don't have anybody placed at the door taking lists, you know, like Mark Johnson bolted. So that won't happen. So we just really want to encourage you. We got some coffee and some things over here. Take a few minutes and hang out. We really are not about the show. We are a family on mission. And one of the things that makes us a family on mission, Bobby, next week, what's happening?
Winter small group lunch.
Winter small group lunch. Okay. Anything you want to tell us about that?
If you are interested in joining a group, let us know. You can do that using your connection card, or you can use this QR code, and it will send you right to the list of small groups that we currently have, their locations, their times, if children are welcome, if children are not welcome, all that's there for you. And if God has placed on your heart to launch a group, we'd love to partner with you as God grows you in your leadership and allows you to open your home to so many others, because that's how we do life here.
Yeah,
at
thank
church.
You. Groups. And you're going to talk more about that next week, right?
I'm going to talk more about that next week.
Okay, awesome. So, hey, thanks for being here. Let's take a minute, and we're going to pray. After we pray, we're going to sing a couple songs together. Are they familiar songs?
I think so.
Okay.
Two of them are.
Two of them are familiar, so there might be some mystery in there.
Yeah.
So, we're going to sing some songs together. Listen, if you got a terrible voice, just use it, okay? All right. No judgment. Just get loud, all right? I think the Bible says something about make a what?
Joyful noise.
A noise. So, hey, you can do noise, right? Can anybody? You can do noise? Okay, so make a joyful noise and just worship along with us. And we're going to be jumping into Scripture, so you're going to want to have a Bible handy. We have some Bibles back here on the table. I think Dana's got a few right there in her hand. Maybe sometime, if you don't have a Bible with you right now, get up and just saunter over there and say, hey, Dana, where are these Bibles? Grab one. You can take it home or pull out your phone. The Wi-Fi is a little spotty in here, but if you can pull up the Bible on your phone, I think it would be great benefit. So anyway, let's stand together, and I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to continue in worship. Jesus, thank you very much for, well, it's a new year. And I know it's 11 days in, but I'm just reminded even today that every day is a new day. I mean, your mercies are new every morning. And I'm just so grateful that you have been so good and faithful, tender, kind, to give me, to give us another day. And Father, the next few minutes, we're going to sing not to forget the worries of the world. We're going to sing not to distract ourselves. We're going to take a few minutes walking through Scripture, not just as a reprieve from life, but we're doing these things in full view of life and its challenges, and asking, Father, that your son Jesus, instead of being in the corner or just a part of my journey, but your son, Jesus, would sit on the throne of my life. And in the midst of the most beautiful moments this week and in the midst of the most challenging, Jesus would be seen, felt, and experienced by me and by those around me through me. May this happen. May our worship be something far more than a few measures of some songs, Father. May our worship be our life. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
You know, I said it a moment ago that this week's been a little challenging for me. And I imagine that some of you walked in here in the midst of a battle with some worry, with some doubt. And I want to encourage us that God has already gone before you, that he fights our battles for us. And I know that on a Sunday that feels right to hear, and it makes sense for me to say, but that's hard. It takes a great deal of faith. And so we're going to sing this song called "The Battle Belongs" as a reminder that our battles belong to God. Amen? Let's worship.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. In every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Hey. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. Thank you, God. When all I see is the cross, God, you see an empty tomb. Oh, hey. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. The battle belongs to you. In every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. In our mighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of my God. Hey. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. In every fear I lay at your feet,
All my days I've been held in your haze. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I'm going to invite you to be seated, and we're going to take a moment of prayer. And I want you, just for a moment, while your eyes are closed, I want you to think back to some moments. And I want you to go back to some moments that you know that God has shown himself to be so good to you. Okay? And while your eyes are closed and your head is bowed, I want you to identify those and thank God right now for those moments. Okay? Some of those moments are sweet. It was the job that opened up that you prayed for. It was a breakthrough in that person's life that you've been praying for. It was that birth of a child. was that scan at the doctor's office that said, clear. And some of the moments that have revealed the goodness of God have been different. Dark. You felt isolated. It looked like everything was crumbling. Seen and you've experienced God's goodness. Like his rod and his staff, comfort. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Father, thank you this morning that you're not done with me. You're not done with us. Thank you that your character, your goodness is not diminished by the things of this world. And I pray in Jesus' name that as we walk out of here this morning, we might be reminded of the goodness of God, his presence, gift of his son Jesus. God, and I pray that as we walk, we not only will have more courage and stamina and conviction in our step, but Father, my prayer is that through whatever circumstance that is in front of us this week, that Jesus, you will be seen and felt and experienced by the people around us. Father, because of these moments of worship and these moments in your word, I pray that there would be fruit in my home and fruit in my neighborhood and fruit in our world right now. There is such ugliness, violence in our world. And you placed your church here to be a fragrant aroma of Christ. And I pray, Father, that we might be that. Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship team. You guys, give them a thank you. Again, I'm grateful that you're here this morning. Some of you, this is maybe your first or second time here, and you're still trying to figure things out. It's a big deal to us that we, some of these things we talk about, we really try to live them out. Like being in this cafeteria is part of us living out the mission that God has for us. It wasn't what we planned in 2025. It wasn't our strategy. But when we moved into this cafeteria in the summer, sort of last minute, there's been some really sweet things that have happened in our community of faith, and I love it. So I don't know how long we'll get to be here. Today it feels pretty good, but it gets a little crowded, and we use almost every chair we can. I love it. This is part of our DNA. We are family. And so we're going to do this as long as we can. Thank you. Some of you, I know that you lament and miss an auditorium, and a bunch of you don't. So, we're a mosaic. We're a mixed group of people. Isn't that cool? Yeah, everyone's like, yeah, mosaic's cool. It's also hard. So anyway, I'm glad that you guys are here. And we, before we dive in, I'm just going to tell you about a little interaction I had this week. This week, I was in a conversation with somebody and discovered that they're a chef. Well, maybe that's not fair. They're literally a trainer of chefs and bakers. And I was like, whoa, that's really cool. I mean, I told him, I tried sitting down. I'll do it again in a little bit. I got to stand up. So I was like, that's super cool. I have such admiration for chefs and bakers. And I said, I don't think I could ever be a baker. There's some magic required. And he said, well, it's not magic. I call it food science. That's what he called it. I was like, oh, well, call it whatever you want. I think it's so cool. I said, I don't do a lot of cooking anymore, but my wife and I, we watch Top Chef, all the reruns, like every night. Like every night, it's become this ritual in the last couple of months. We just watch. And it's fun. We have such admiration. I remember when we were younger, we were like, well, we could open a restaurant. Now we're like, ain't no way. And so I just told him, I was like, man, I got such admiration. That is so absolutely cool. And then as I was talking, I thought, by the way, when I said I watched Top Chef, he pulled out his phone and showed me a picture with like one of the most famous chefs in America. And I was like, oh, this is, so I was a little like, wow. And I just had this thought. I was like, maybe I should tell him. So I did. I said, well, I don't do a lot of cooking, but I'm kind of a big deal. Twice a year. I make Thanksgiving a mean roll. I mean, I make this roll that it is to die for, and I was like, and I mean, I really wanted to elaborate about the second part. I was really in my head thinking, like, how am I going to let him know what a big deal I am when it comes to noodles? And, you know, like, I'm at least in, like, four or five people, I'm super famous. And so, but before I could really kind of elaborate, I just said, yeah, and I make noodles. And he interrupted me, and he's like, wait a minute, what do you mean you make noodles? And I'm like, well, it's hard to explain. So I said, it's sort of like, you know, and I started kind of giving this cultural background. It's like sort of like an Eastern European, German, you know, kind of like a spetzel thing. It's like this, you know, every culture has its starch. And he's like, and he kind of interrupts me. He's like, you mean like egg noodles? I was like, well, sort of, if you want to call them egg noodles. And he says, oh, egg noodles? Those are so easy. He's like, you just need some egg yolk and some flour. And like my whole demeanor changed. I was like, I guess I'm not going to tell him I'm a big deal. And I just smiled at him. And really the conversation ended pretty quickly because I just, it didn't feel good to me anymore. And I left the conversation. I thought, man, I was like, you know, easy just doesn't describe my journey with noodles. Like 30 some years ago, I was 2,000 miles away from home, and it was my first Thanksgiving away from home, and so I call my mom up on the phone. I'm like, Mom, we need some sort of sense of home. For me, these noodles, they meant so much more than food. Like, you have some things like that, right? Like, for me growing up, these noodles, these are when our family, like, we were at our best. You know what I'm saying? We weren't fighting. We weren't being like ugly. We were sitting around a table, and there was just in those special moments, there were just always these noodles. And so, just a couple days before Thanksgiving, 30 some years ago, I called my mom up on the phone. I'm like, Mom, I gotta have these noodles. And you know, I grew up with a mom and a grandma who just churned out the most amazing food. Anybody have a mom or grandma like that? Like, they just churned out food, and it looked like effortless, you know? That's what it looked like. And it was just, I grew up, and so I called them on the phone and said, Mom, can you give me your recipe? And I think I've shared this with a couple of people here. And I said, my mom, on the phone, like 30 years ago, she's like, what recipe? Like, you know, your noodle recipe. Would you send it to me? She's like, she says, John, it's so, anybody? Easy. I'm like, oh, man, okay. I'll say, okay, I'll just, what do I need? And she says, well, you need some flour. And I said, wait a second. And I went over, and I got a pencil, and I said, okay, flour, how much flour? And she's like, a cup or two. And so I just like, okay, Mom, I'll just a cup or two. And then she says, okay, you need some eggs. Okay, how many eggs? She says, I don't know, one, two, three. I'm like, Mom, you're killing me. How many eggs? And she says, it just depends. I'm like, it depends on what? Like, how many noodles you want? I'm like, I don't know how many noodles I want. Okay, and now I'm in my frustration. I'm like, okay, what's the rest? And she says, you need some salt and some water. I'm like, okay, Mom, how much salt, how much water? And she says, well, you just need enough. That's what she said. And I'm like, Mom, how am I going to know? And she says, you'll just know it when you know it. And so that's been my journey. Like 30 years I've been trying to figure this thing out. I kind of have it down after 30 years. But when I think about the interaction with that chef, and I think about the interaction with my mom, and to me, it informs how I look at faith. Because maybe like you, I've been around people in my life that are just amazing. And like faith just kind of drips out of them. It's like everywhere they stand, there's a puddle of faith around. And you just want to get up close and touch a little of that. You're like, wow, that is so, it just looks so effortless in their life. And then when you get up close to them and you're like, hey, how do I get a faith like that? They almost always say something like this. Oh, it's easy. You just need one or two cups of showing up. You need one, two, three egg yolks of scripture. Wait a minute, how much? And they just say, oh, you'll just know it when you know it. And over the years, I have found that to be so incredibly unhelpful. And so just sharing a little bit about my own journey is that I feel like in my life I have this call from God. Like it's so heavy on my heart to not only, the center of my call is to follow Jesus and his mission, but it is also to help everyday men and women understand how to start a journey of faith, how to practice faith, and how to finish faithful. And this is so close to who I am. I feel a call from God for us as a community of faith to actually talk about what it looks like. And so that's why this series up here is called Lego, is that this month we're trying to remove some of the, I'll call it unnecessary mystery. There is necessary mystery in faith. Anybody nod? Amen? But there's also a bunch of unnecessary mystery. And I feel called before God to help remove that. So that's what this series is all about. Like, how do I invest in my faith muscle? Like, the most important muscle group in your life and mine is our faith muscle group. That's the foundation of a healthy and vibrant life. And so this whole month, we're talking about the building blocks to that life of faith. And last week we talked about the first building block is learning to depend and practicing a dependence on God. And a lot of us have built our dependence on other things. Amen? And our significance, who we are, our success is sometimes so tied to affirmation, approval, success in this world, money, or the lack of conflict, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God's calling you and me to find our dependence solely on him. And that's the first building block. Now we're going to go to the second building block today. And by the way, we're walking through the book of 2 Corinthians. And book is probably not a fair title. The book of 2 Corinthians is actually a letter. It's a letter from Paul to a church in Corinth. And I'm not going to re-preach last week's introduction. But just for a quick little reminder, Paul is writing a letter to a people, a church, a small church in a city that I think resembles so much of our city, the Tacoma, so much of our culture and our world today. And so this letter that he writes, 2 Corinthians, he addresses a lot of real stuff. Like he talks about conflict in the church, how to navigate conflict. Anybody here want to talk about how to navigate conflict? I don't know if we want to, but we're going to, okay? So he talks about like stewardship, living a life of generosity in a culture that is not generous. So we're going to talk about that as we walk through 2 Corinthians. He talks about suffering. And the month of February, we're going to talk about how do you navigate, I'm going to call it monsters. Like, how do we deal with the real monsters in our life? But all through the book of 2 Corinthians, or this letter, is a thread. And the thread is faith. Right in his opener in chapter 1, right after he kind of goes to, kind of bringing his opening to a conclusion, he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, he says, "Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy." And then he says this, "Because it is by," everybody? Everybody? It's by what? It's by faith that you stand firm. Like, if you ignore this faith muscle in your life, you're going to fall. And there's going to be a grand collapse in your life. And Paul's like, I want you to know that the heartbeat behind this entire thing is like fanning your faith into not just a flame, but a bonfire. He talks about this multiple times through the letter. A couple chapters later in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, rather famously, you've probably heard this. It says, "We live by faith and not by..." Yeah, some of you weren't even looking up there. You know it. "We live by faith, not by sight." He famously says this again. He's talking about how important it is for you to fan faith from an ember to flame, from flame to a bonfire. Now, by the way, one of the things about 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we do this a lot in the church. We like little, even before there was Twitter, we like little tags. And so we have a tendency in the Christian church of taking little, like, neat sayings and putting them on T-shirts and bumper stickers, and now we do it all over Instagram. "We live by faith, not by sight." Neat little picture in the background, you know, some cool music. And we love stuff like that. And this verse, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, is really neat. Agree? Live by faith, not by sight. But when we lift things out of context, we sometimes miss and lose the necessary power. This morning, we are going to look at this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to try to put verse 7 back in context and ask ourselves, what in the world does he mean, live by faith, not by sight? Is he talking about, like, turn my eyes off, don't look at stuff, be brainless? Is that what he means? Or what is he talking about? So this morning, I want you to open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to talk about what it means to live by faith, not by sight. And we're going to see the second important building block to a life of faith. All right, here we go. Read along with me. Starting in verse 1, Paul says, "We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Okay, I'm going to admit that this is one of those Bible passages that when you read it, you're a little like, what? And I actually get why we lift some verses out of here. Like, we live by faith, not by sight. That's good. I mean, that does fit on a T-shirt. mean, it's actually short enough to fit on a bumper sticker. You probably right now could pull your phone out and put that out on the Instagram right now. It's pretty quick. It's snappy. But is that the heart of his message? Is the heart of his message, hey, like, turn off your brain and don't look at stuff and just kind of buck up? The answer is no. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 isn't even primarily about not living by sight. It's about what faith looks like. And to explain it, Paul says, I want you to know that you, as a Jesus follower, have been given an incredible gift that has two consequences. Would you say that with me? Say, I have a gift. It has two consequences. If you've invited Jesus into your life, the New Testament says the moment you say, Jesus, will you come into my life? Will you forgive me of my sins? I'm messed up. That very moment you invite Jesus into your life, miraculously, he comes inside. And he lives inside of you. You have the gift of God's Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you. Let's look at this in verse 5. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a, what's the word up there? As a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Now, we don't use the word deposit a lot. I don't think it's completely unfamiliar, but it's become like unfashionable. 2026, we like to get our stuff and pay for it later. Anybody like those zero down, you know, zero payments, 24 months? We like to go into the store and they're like, hey, try this on. And we're like, oh, I can't afford it. And they say, no worries. Take it home. You can pay for it over the next 24 months. And we're like, sounds great. We like to swipe a thing or tap a thing called a credit card. You know, we like to go like, I don't have the money, but it's a miracle. I can just tap on this thing and I can take this thing home today. So that's really our culture. We've lost sight a little bit about deposits. When I was a kid, we often would do our school shopping in the summer. And there was three kids, and my mom would take us school shopping to a couple of stores that I don't think exist anymore. Our two favorites were Sears. Anybody? I think there's like one Sears left in the United States. I saw an article recently. So Sears, and the second one was Kmart. So we would do most of our school shopping at Sears. Sears was the kind of uptown, and Kmart was a little more our speed, a little more downtown, okay? So we would go to Kmart, and I remember with fondness in the summertime walking into Kmart with my mom and my two sisters. And even as I'm telling this, I want you to know I can smell Kmart. I can feel the touch of those big packs of those white tube socks. Anybody? And we would go into Kmart, and my mom, she would say, okay, you need a couple pairs of jeans. And I remember that feel of those starchy jeans. You guys remember? Like, okay. And my mom would make me go try them on. I don't know why, because my mom insisted that if she couldn't get both of her hands in the waistband, that we wouldn't buy them. Anybody? Like, my pants always had to be way too big. Some of you are like, people did this? Raise your hand if your mom only bought pants that were way too big for you. Okay, so there's the regular people. Okay. So we would go through Kmart, and then I'd come out and I'd say, Mom, the pants are too big. She'd say, perfect, and she'd put them in the basket. And as we go through Kmart, we would start mounting up the basket. And as a kid who didn't grow up with much, that was one of those sweet moments. Like, you just see the basket grow. And you started feeling rich, you know, like, oh, we got stuff. And that basket was filled not just with your clothes, but it was filled with hope. And after, I don't know how long we'd be in there, an hour maybe, my mom would say, okay, we're done. And we'd follow my mom like little pirates coming back with our bounty. And she'd have this cart, but my mom never pushed the cart to the front of the store. My mom would always push the cart to the back of Kmart. And I don't think this exists anymore, but in the back of Kmart, there would be a table, a counter, and there'd be a couple of employees and a small little line, and we would follow mom, and she'd push that basket. And right there in the back at the table, there'd be a couple of people and a big sign above the table, and it would say, someone said over here, layaway. And we'd stand there as they didn't scan back then. They 10 keyed that whole thing, and they would take one by one all these things that I had, and they would put them in a box or they'd hang them on a hanger, and they would then give my mom a little ticket. And we would walk out of Kmart not with our things. We'd walk out with a ticket. On the way out, my mom would stop at the cash register and she'd give a little bit of money. And then the rest of the summer, you know, my mom on her little secretary salary, she would scrounge a few dollars every paycheck and then she would go down to Kmart and she'd pay a little. Some of you nod, you know, she'd pay a little on that deposit. She kept adding to that deposit. And the hope was that by the time school started, that she'd pay enough that we'd get some of these things back. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is what Paul's talking about. When you ask Jesus to come into your life, God gives the gift of his Holy Spirit as a deposit in your life, like kind of like layaway. It's a promise of things to come. The Holy Spirit lives in your life as a, now it's not just an empty promise, like it's a deposit. It's an actual deposit in your life that is there to remind you and prepare you for these rewards or these consequences of the gift of the Spirit. And the first of those consequences or rewards is this. One day, there will be no more temptation in your life. One day, there will be no more sin dragging you down. One day, there will be no more aches in your body. One day, there will be no more tears in your eyes. Because of the gift of God's Spirit in your life, one day, there is a day that you will be reunited with God in a place called, everybody, heaven. Like it's a real deal. Like all the pain and the misery, the violence, the injustice, the wrongs of this world will be finally made right. And it is glorious. God has given the gift of his Holy Spirit in your life as a deposit. Not just a reminder, but he's getting you ready for the most glorious reunion with himself. But that is not the only reward consequence of the gift of the Spirit. There's another one. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says the second gift of the Spirit is this thing called stenazo. Just for fun, let's try it. Stenazo. Paul says the deposit of the Holy Spirit has two consequences. One is that reminding you that one day you will be joining him in heaven. The second is that the gift of the Spirit produces a stenazo in you. Now, the word stenazo is a Greek word that is used in the New Testament. It's translated in some other places like this. One time, Jesus is healing a blind man. And just before he heals the blind man, it says that he looks to heaven and he stenazos. He sighs deeply. In the book of James, it says that, it uses the word stenazo, and it says that it's grieving or mourning, almost like a complaint. The word stenazo, interestingly, is this very same thing that the Holy Spirit does when you pray to God. when you are in prayer and you're praying, maybe you're praying for your spouse, you're praying for your mom, your kids, you're praying, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes alongside your prayer and he stenazos before the Father for you while you are praying. It's the same word to describe what happened in the Old Testament when the people of Israel were in Egypt and they were enslaved and things were getting worse and worse and worse. And while things around them were getting harder and harder and harder, they were aching and they were lamenting and they were crying out to God. And the Bible says that God heard their stenazo, their groaning. And in 2 Corinthians 5, that's how it's translated in English, is that the Holy Spirit has given you, oddly, a gift. And the gift is a groaning, an irritation, a frustration, a longing that the things that are not right in your life would be right. A longing that the things that God has designed you for one day would be today. Righteousness, love, justice, and mercy would be lived out in your life. You see, God's gift of the Holy Spirit is not just a deposit like, hey, one day you're going to make it into heaven. Hang in there. But God has given his Holy Spirit in you to make you frustrated with anything that is less than God's design in your life. I.e., God has given you a groaning to grow. So whether you've thought through it or not doesn't change the fact that this morning you're here today because God's Holy Spirit is working in you. God's Holy Spirit is prompting you to be closer, to be nearer, to walk with peace and love, to live with righteousness, to have freedom from this nagging addiction, to have freedom from this propensity to walk in the same relationship, pains and problems that you've had your entire life. The Holy Spirit right now is working in you. He is creating a groaning in you. Now, I know that maybe this is different than what we've thought, and I think it's because it's a mistake. Sometimes when we hear about the groaning, we've just thought, oh, we groan here because, man, my back aches. Because life hurts. Sometimes McDonald's is slow, you know. Sometimes I got bad customer service. Sometimes, you know, I stub my toe. Sometimes, you know, we talk about groaning, and sometimes we just think, man, he's talking about things being hard here. And honestly, friends, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying he's giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me prove this to you. I'm going to read you. Just go back. You got your Bible open? Verse 2. We groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Like we, you know, when Jesus said, pray this way, Father, may your will be done. May your will in heaven be done here. That's what he's talking about, is that you have a longing for the heavenly to be today. Verse 4, he says, while we're in this tent, what's the tent? Anybody? This tent is this body, right? It's just a tent, by the way. One day we're going to pack it up. We're going to put it in a duffel bag. We'll play Amazing Grace. It's just a tent. One day, he says, while we're in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we don't wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. I want more of God in my life. I want to be a righteous man. I want to be a righteous woman. I want to walk with freedom. If it's for freedom that he has set us free, then I want to live that freedom. Amen? This is what Paul's talking about. He says, and clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. What he means there is that the dead stuff in my life would be replaced with the living. Who doesn't want that? So Paul's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit is in you so that you and I would groan for growth. Now, I get it that in 2026 that this idea of groaning is hard to get. And it's because, what an amazing day that we live in. Honestly, some days I wake up and I have pains in parts of my body I didn't even know I had. Anybody? Anybody ever like tie your shoe and like throw your back out? Like, oh, what happened? Like, you know, or you did some, Bobby, where's Bobby? Bobby, you in here still? Oh, yeah, Bobby. Bobby was just exercising 2 weeks ago and he can't walk still. Right? Right? So, like, you all get that. But you know what you do in 2026 when you wake up in the morning and your back aches or your earlobe hurts? You take ibuprofen. You know what I'm saying? Like you got a little snuffy nose. You take something for the snuffy nose, right? You're bummed out at work. Pour an extra cup of wine. You're frustrated with your marriage. You work out a little longer at the Y. You start a second job. Like it's 2026. When we groan, we medicate. That's what we do. And God's actually not interested in you medicating the groaning away. He actually wants you to embrace it. He wants you to allow the groaning to not be something that drives you towards medication, but he wants it to motivate you. He wants to fan the faith from an ember to flame, from a flame to a bonfire. That's what he wants. So my question, and this is how I approach passages like this, I start saying, okay, what do I do, God? If you're wanting to do this, if you've given, I mean, this is a mind blower. If you've given the gift of your Holy Spirit as a gift in my life to make me frustrated and dissatisfied with the status quo, if this longing inside of me, like, to grow in me near you, if it's a gift from you and I'm frustrated, what do I do with it? So I'm just going to share with you some truths. Like how you keep this thing going. And there are five. They're real. I got to go real quick now because I took too long to talk to you about layaway. Number one, get involved. Verse 6 says, therefore, we are always confident to know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. I'm going to read it again. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. As long as we are at home in the... You know what he's talking about? He's talking about being content. He's like, the greatest enemy for growth in your life is... Well, you complain about stuff, but you don't do anything different. You're stuck in the status quo, and as long as you're at home in this moment, this situation, as long as you've like made this mess your home, you're never going to change. You have got to say, I am tired of being away from the Lord, and I want to be in his boat. That's what Matthew records in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew tells this moment where Jesus has his disciples, and he says to his disciples, hey, guys, I want all of us to get in the boat over there. We're going to go to the other side of the lake. Stay with me. I don't lose you yet, okay? You're like, how does this connect, okay? He says, guys, I want to go get in the boat the other side of the lake. And so they begin walking to the boat. And on the way, one guy says, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus is like... And the other guy says, Jesus, I want to go with you. I got some stuff I got to do at home first. Now, Jesus has some really, like, to be honest, really harsh responses to these two people. Again, they're walking on the way of the boat. He says the first one, hey, I know you say you want to follow me, but heads up. He says, foxes have holes and birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. the other guy who said, I'm going to go with you, but I got stuff to do at home, he says, let the dead bury the dead. And then Matthew says so simply in verse 23, he says, but Jesus' disciples got in the boat. Like, I want you to know, I think that the Holy Spirit was working on those two guys. They saw Jesus walk by, and they're like, something's happening in here. I got to be with that guy. I want to go with Jesus. I want to be a part of his mission, his plan. I want to get in his boat. I'm just going to say it. I am so serious, Jesus. And Jesus is like, hey, you know what? It's really not about what your mouth says. It's about where your feet go. Are you going to get involved? You want to foster, be a part of fanning this flame in your life. You got to do something different. You got to get involved. So let me encourage you in 2026 to say, God, I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to go quick here. Second one. By the way, these all spell groan. Sorry. G-R-O-A-N. Sorry. It was hard to pass up. So R. Regularly show up. How am I going to fan the flame? How am I going to keep growing? Like, as I get older, how am I going to keep growing in my relationship with God? I need to regularly show up. Verse 7, we live by faith and not by sight. He wasn't saying we shut down our brains. What he's saying is this: the world is living based on temporal conditions. Whatever is immediate, whatever comes, whatever is happening, he says, men and women of faith, we make a decision to live differently. We say, I'm going to show up, whether it's good days or bad days, the sun is shining or the clouds are out, come hell or high water, as they often say, I am going to show up. If I've had a good week, if I've had a bad week, if we had a fight on the way here to church in the morning, we'll say at halfway through the fight, you know what? Let's pick up where we started. Right after church, I promise I'll yell, okay? And you can yell back. But right now, we are going to regularly show up. We don't feel it. We're going to do it. The book of Hebrews says it this way. Let's not give up meeting together. As some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And I'd like to talk about that all day. There is such spiritual growth in store for you if you would stay the course. Number 3, open up. Verse 2, while we groan, we long to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Paul's saying, like, this is the character of a Jesus follower. The character of a Jesus follower says, I'm not there yet. I'm hungry. If you've been a Jesus follower for 5 weeks, 5 years, or 55 years, this should be the characteristic of your life. You should say, God, I am not there yet. I'm not done cooking. I haven't figured it all out. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to be shaped and changed by you. Mary sang this. This is in a beautiful song that Mary sings right after she finds out that she is going to be the one to birth the Savior. She says, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. This is not about the rich and the poor. This is not about the haves and have-nots. She's not singing about, like, you know, economic disparity. You know what she's singing about? Staying hungry, man. Not let the cynicism sneak in. And as you get older, being like, I got to figure it out. Dang kids. They give me 5 minutes, I give them a piece of my mind. No, instead saying, God, I'm so hungry. I'm so thirsty. Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, it's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Listen, if you finally figured it all out, if you've got it all figured out and all in its right categories and boxes and you're like, I'm good, I'm okay, then you're missing out on the work of Jesus. Isn't that good? Here's another one. This is not as politically correct, but Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. I love this. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. That's the easy part. Ready for the next one? Whoever hates correction is... I think we said in our house, we don't say stupid. I think we said that in our house. That's not what God says. God says, like, if you think you've got it all figured out and you're done learning, you're dumber than dirt. Next one, A, act on it. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. Paul says the Spirit of the living God is given. It's a deposit. He's churning inside of you frustration, dissatisfaction, a longing for the things that are to be true in your life today. One of the ways you fan this thing into flame is you start taking little steps of obedience. I hope in 2026 that you're reading Scripture. If you're not in God's Word every day, by the way, do this for me. If you're not reading God's Word every day, take your connection card. It looks like this. And on the back, you can say, I need help reading. Okay? And I promise you, this week, I'm going to send you a couple of opportunities so you can begin reading God's Word every day. It's so important, the journey. But we read God's Word every day, not so that we can win arguments at work, not so that we can be kind of pumped up. We read God's Word every day so that we can be changed by it, which requires us applying the things that God speaks on a daily basis. Like the very moment that you say, yeah, I'm not doing that, God, is the very moment that the growth begins to be shut down in your life. I mean, you can't have a brilliant, bright flame and be dousing it over here. The water leaks, man, and it just puts out the flame. In John 14, Jesus said, anybody who loves me will, it should be up there, what's the word say? Will what? Will obey. And what does that mean? That means that you begin to act on the things that God is speaking to you. Take risks in 2026. Act on it. Watch what God does in your life. And the last one, guys, never, ever. Can you guys say it? Is it up there? Never, ever quit. Verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Here is the truth. One day, this heart will stop. I don't know when. It could be on the way home. It could be next year. It could be 50 years from now. I don't know. But one day, this heart will stop. The very last breath that I breathe here, I will exhale, I will inhale in another place. It'll be wonderful and glorious. And I want you to know the thing that I'm looking forward to is I am looking forward to, like, the unclear things being clear, the things being unknown, known. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to be reunited with people in my life. Amen? I'm looking forward to no more pain and no more tears. But I want you to know the thing that I look forward to the most is I hope that I get a chance to be ushered into the very presence of God. And there in his presence, I long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And I hope that you long for that too. And if you do, then never, ever quit. He's fanning. I think he's fanning right now. An ember into a flame, and a flame into a bonfire. And he's inviting you to keep growing. Dear brothers and sisters, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Oh, Father, I thank you for a few minutes in your word this morning. It's a remarkable thing. I'm really struck in 2 Corinthians 5, where we're reminded that you have saved us out of your love and mercy and given every man, woman, and child. You've given us a gift, a deposit. And this deposit is both to prepare us for the day where you will wipe away every tear. But the deposit also is to create in us a longing, an aching, a desire for growth. And right now, even in the smallest way, it's being exhibited in this room by men and women being here. Now, Father, I pray that you would give them a commitment, embolden their commitment to grow. Give them a passion this year to grow. Give them courage to step in, to get off of the sidelines, to regularly, Father, show up to say, this is how our family will be. This is how I will be this year. To be open and hungry, even as I get older, even as the world gets harder. Father, I pray in your name that we'd begin to live out the things that you reveal to us. And by your grace and your power, never, ever quit. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song of worship together. And team's going to lead us. During worship, not right away, but like partway through this song, Dana and a couple people are going to be passing some baskets. I want to encourage you to drop off that connection card. You know, I just casually mentioned being in God's Word. If that struck you, you're like, man, I'm struggling to get in God's Word. I'd like a tip or two or some direction. Just put on back, I want to read. That's all you have to say. I want to read. And this week, I'm going to send you some tips, some suggestions, and help you get in the game. If you've made some other decisions, like you said, man, I'm committing my life to Christ, I want to know. This church wants to be on your team. So you can drop this in. Some people will be using this to give financially to God. If you're a guest, let this be your gift, okay? Thank you.
I
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are with. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope.
Yeah.
Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Come on, church.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood and feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence.
Sing, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
just become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
We are so grateful for a few moments this morning to be reminded that you're working in us. And Father, my prayer is that we would be committed to this building block of growth. Stir in us a commitment, longing to stay in the potter's hands. We love you. This week, I know that there'll be some beautiful moments, there'll be some challenges, but all to remain in your hands. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for sharing your Sunday with us. I'm not going to keep you much longer, but I'm encouraging you, if you have a few minutes, there's some coffee and some tea, grab some. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about getting in groups. Bobby's going to have some great things to share about that. God bless you guys.